Live from the Bills' famous cheese spread studios in the downstairs pub, the Blockout Sports Pod is back on the air. From behind the master control desk in the aforementioned downstairs pub, I am your host and moderator for this evening. My name is Travis Carter. Now, kind of a breaking news scenario we have here.
Yeah, I don't even know who this guy is.
We picked up a random on the deck this evening for our little pre-show meeting.
I ran into him at Speedway. He was asking me for money for a cup of coffee.
I think it was the other way around.
So, back after a three-week hiatus is the poet laureate of the Blockout Sports Pod. You know him as Mr. Electricity. We call him Whiteboard Jody.
He entered the transfer portal and nobody else wanted him.
Yep. I sat there and sat there.
You need a new agent, man. You need a new agent.
My agent was Freddie Benders. Well, I think I'm going to fire him.
Well, that explains it all.
I decided to remain the starter.
Over my right shoulder at the high top table is the big fella, the tuna, country Matt Kempf. And bellied up to the bar, a man who's looking at himself in the mirror tonight. He's decided to make a change. He is the fabulous one, Freddie Bender.
I'm going all overs, baby. Overs.
Now, I know that is a lie.
If you bet the overs in all these bowls, you'd have a good amount of money.
They've been killing it in this bowl season.
Want to remind everybody, we are on social media, on Twitter, X, at Blockout Pod, on Facebook, just type in Blockout Sports Pod into your, search engine. You can find us there. Before we get into the, nuts and bolts of the bowls and, the college football playoffs and everything like that, we do have a little business to attend to at the end of the program last week. Freddie and Tuna picked nine of the bowl games, just strictly the winners. I understand that we did have a clear-cut winner in that competition.
Well, I think the competition's still going. It's a multi-week competition.
Okay.
Yeah.
Week. So we'll call it state. We'll do it like NASCAR.
Yeah.
Stage one. Mm-hmm. The fabulous one prevails 5-4. Stage two, they will be picking those games here at the end of the program tonight. Was there one? I know there was, but I want the listeners to know, was there one game that really sticks out to you, Tuna, that you wish you could have back or you wish had played out a little bit differently?
See, this is why I don't share stuff with you guys, because like I opened up and vented to you about how much this one hurt me. And then this is the first thing that gets brought up. So,
and you theoretically won it a couple times,
several
but then
times.
Lost it at the end. And matter of fact, I think I won it three times because my team rushed the field three times.
I'll tell you this, neither team deserved to win it.
No. The refs should be in jail. The coaches should be fired.
This was the Pittsburgh-Toledo game.
Yes.
I already forgot. What was it? What bowl game was it? Was it the... I don't even know. Who cares?
Yeah, I don't remember.
Who gives a shit bowl? It was bad.
It may have been the Liberty.
Was it the Liberty?
Maybe.
No, Liberty was actually a decent game.
Okay. But yeah, it went into...
So let's explain to those that may not...
It was the Game Above Sports Bowl.
Well, I mean, who can forget that?
Yeah.
Who can forget that?
No, it was... Narduzzi had a chance. Pitt, he's the head coach of Pitt, if anybody doesn't know. For now, he is.
Yeah.
We don't know how long that's going to go.
Yeah.
But he had a chance right there at the end at the one-yard line with basically time running out to go for two. Or I'm sorry, go for a touchdown.
Go for a touchdown.
To win the game.
Toledo had a chance to go for two and win it, and they didn't do that either.
No. and instead, the ball, keep in mind, was inside the 1 yard line.
Yes.
Yeah.
They opted to kick the field goal. First of all, they called the timeout when
they
got there.
Yes.
They ran up, and they could have just ran the ball and punched it in real quick. Instead, they called a timeout. Because we got to think about this.
Yeah.
So then they decided to kick the field goal and take this game above sports bowl into overtime.
Yeah.
If one of these guys would have got hurt going into overtime, man. I mean, I know you can't think that way, but what the hell? Why are we taking that game into overtime? And it proceeds to go into six overtime.
Yes, and at one point, Toledo had a chance to go for two and win because the rest of them were going for two.
I think the best was the commentator was like, I don't know who it was.
Oh, he was
frustrated. Cracking me up.
He
man.
Was so
you
mad.
Could tell he was ready to get out of there and go drink somewhere.
Yeah.
He did not want to be there anymore. And he was like, he goes, okay, so you decide to kick from the 1 yard line. Now you're doing this. You got to go for two, or you know,
I want to find
you're
out who
lined
that guy
up four
is.
Yards behind the line of scrimmage.
Funny. Yeah.
It's like, why are you doing this?
I think it was Todd Christensen.
I don't know, but he did not. He was not happy about being there. And anybody that had money on that game, I'm sorry that you had to sit through that.
Well, I like, did.
God, well, and, it was.
And I think I feel like we've seen, like, and it happened in the NFL this weekend where a team has an opportunity.
Sean Payton.
Yeah, to just go, and especially in these bowl games. That,
oh, dude, these bowl games have all went to the wire.
I say they don't mean anything. You know what I mean when I say that. It's
yeah.
like not in 10 years, nobody's really going to remember if you won or lost the bowl, the life above
it's
sports
the time
bowl or
to
whatever.
Do those plays
yes.
that you've been drawing up all year.
Yes.
All that goofy stuff you've been practicing, put it on the line in these bowl games.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
And I will give, was it Cristobal?
Mario Cristobal, yeah.
For Miami mm-hmm. that went for two at
he
the
did.
End of the ball game and didn't get it.
Yep.
But I give him way more credit for having the guts and mm-hmm. just understanding the really understanding the moment.
Vegetables went for two as well.
Yeah. 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 Oklahoma.
Is that the game that
that's
I was
the
thinking?
Game you're
okay,
thinking of.
That's the game. Yeah, 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 yeah. It was vegetables. It was against Navy.
Yeah, it wasn't Cristobal. He didn't do anything like
no,
that.
No, 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 no.
Cristobal
no.
just.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it was.
Vegetable
it was,
got
it was
out
Navy.
Coached the whole game and then went for two.
I respect it.
I do too. I it seems like. And I was actually listening to that game on the radio. I was on the road, and the radio announcers were both echoing that, like, it's good to see after we've seen some coaches, shall we say, turtle in this situation to actually show some guts and tell your guys, hey, we're either going to win it or lose it right here. I'm not interested in this thing going 9 2-point conversion overtimes.
If you're a head coach anywhere and you're it's coming down to make a call, just ask yourself, like, one thing, what would Scott Satterfield do? And then do the complete opposite.
Yes. That's right. That's right.
And I think, you know, Thursday was the Toledo game, among other bowl games, and that's what started your surge down. And
yeah.
Then I think, did you have Arkansas State as well? Or I had Arkansas State after that.
Mm-hmm.
You had the opposite team. And other than that, we both got absolutely slaughtered on Friday.
It was a
no respect or no kudos for Georgia Tech, Texas Tech, Texas A&M, or Colorado mm-hmm. or Oklahoma, for that matter. But on Saturday, I hope that you made the 180 like I did and did well on Saturday, because Saturday was a whole nother day with Syracuse, TCU.
Yeah, I think Friday.
Army.
Friday I did hit
Iowa
on
State.
Syracuse covering that.
We had that locked down for weeks.
And then the Arkansas win over Texas Tech.
Yeah.
But
that was Friday, I thought.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank God for Vanderbilt keeping the banner of the SEC.
Oh my God.
High in the air. I mean, it was one of those games for me. Because you know, and listeners should know how I feel about Vanderbilt, but we have also been talking about how much we've enjoyed Georgia Tech. We like their coach. We love their quarterback. And that was one of those games that I was tickled that Vanderbilt won, but I wish they would have been playing anybody else. And especially, and I know people were getting on the officiating in that game, and there were some calls that were, shall we say, questionable.
I tried to come through the phone if I could.
But But what I was trying to relate is that
still couldn't stop him.
As someone who has watched Vanderbilt and been a fan of theirs for the better part of two decades, I have seen Vanderbilt get hosed by the officials so many times that it kind of felt good to see it go the other way.
All you gotta do is have that little sumbitch on your team, and he will wipe that all away and then some.
And
he may pour salt in your wounds as he's scoring on you.
Yeah, and guess what? There's a good chance you're gonna see it all again next year.
No,
I can't wait.
Done.
And
yeah,
I'll tell you right now, that game was getting chippy. There was getting ready to be. I mean, I think there were 28 personal foul calls in that game. And then what happens? Lightning delay with what, 8 minutes to go? I was like, in this game now.
That was when
hang him from the showers with duct tape.
That was when it got stupid, because honestly, I felt like the game changed when those personal fouls were happening. And I thought Georgia Tech handled it way worse.
Oh, their coach really lost it.
Yeah,
and
the two calls were horrendous. Yeah, let's be real. But
especially the second one was really bad.
Yeah, well, I thought the play on the punt was...
But as a coach, and I know he's a fiery guy, and that's kind of his MO, but as a coach, you have to recognize that at that point, your team might be teetering a little bit on the edge of losing their composure, and they need to see their coach. Like, I thought Lee did a good job of grabbing his guys and getting them all around him, and you could kind of read his lips, and he was like, we're not going to get sucked into this. We're going to play our game and that. And I thought the game really, well, it did. It shifted right there. It turned from a pre-competitive game to Vanderbilt really running away with it. And then all of a sudden, you're thinking, well, let's just run the clock out. Let's get this game over with. And they have to go to the locker room for like 35 minutes.
I didn't even watch it when they came back on.
I watched it happen.
If that something like that ever happens again, I think you just send the head coaches to the 50-yard line, let them fight.
and
takes the bowl trophy.
And a lot of times that would not be very good TV. But that
I'd watch those two beat the shit out of
you. That would be pretty good TV. Yeah.
But Pavio responsible for 5 touchdowns. I mean, you know.
I would have loved to have seen Nick Saban and Brian Kelly just going at it at the 50-yard line, just smacking each other and God knows what.
Maybe they could, like Kelly and Saban could just do a power slap.
Yeah. Hey, I mean, you laugh, but a Jim Harbaugh, Ryan Day.
Yeah. I've got a list of some players that absolutely crushed it in bowl games. Edwards, the running back for K-State. That game was incredible. More overtimes in that game.
Backup running back.
That was nuts. The quarterback from Navy really showed out in his game.
Horvath. Yeah, man, he was awesome.
McCord for Syracuse
Kyle
looked
McCord
great. Army
broke
quarterback.
The ACC record for most passing yards in a season.
Yeah, the TCU quarterback and running back and defense looked great. But I would say Pavia gets mine so far, even in the Missouri game today. I thought their quarterback played tough. But he's the best I've seen so far as bowl games.
Let me ask you guys
concerned
about this. Miami's quarterback played the first half, and so he could break the record for touchdown passes, right? How did you guys feel about him just deciding to sit in the second half?
Well, I think we kind of addressed this last year when – Western Kentucky during their bowl game when who was it? Malachi, what was his name? He's in the NFL.
Oh,
now.
Yeah.
Plays for the Jets. He came out, played like 2 plays, and then quit on the team. I don't understand that. I guess Cam Ward did it to break a record, but my feelings remain the same. Either play or don't play. Just, I mean.
Yeah, dude. I mean, he made
people
it.
Were saying that was a coach's decision to not play him, and I think that's bullshit. That's covering it
up.
But
I know one thing. While that game was going on and Iowa State's making this awesome comeback with their quarterback and they're showing him the whole time and it just didn't look good.
They threw the ball three times in the second half.
Yeah, and that quarterback was awful. That I think he threw for negative yards. And, of course, Iowa State came back and won. And what are you going to do? You're not going to throw Ward back in the fourth quarter when they need him.
That was actually...
Even though he warmed up a couple times, which was weird.
That was actually a question that whoever the color commentator was on that game when Miami was coming out, getting ready to come out for their last try to, I think, maybe tie the game or win it. I forget what the score was.
They would have won. I think they were two. It was a two-point game at that point.
But the announcer said, would you consider bringing Ward back in? I said, you can't do that. You can't do that. Like, I think the whole team would riot if you did that.
Yeah, I think there's a little bit of overreaction here. There's been a lot of talk about people saying this is going to affect his draft stock.
I don't think one bit. No.
And, I mean, people are just attacking the kid personally. It is one thing. I mean, I don't like it. I understand it, but I don't like it at all.
Sure.
I think it's nonsense. And these records getting broken are like, I don't know. It is what it is. It's fine.
He's
going to get drafted. Fine. That kid, anybody that's been around him, just speaks the world of him. Like, the way that the receivers talk about how they made – he told Restrepo one time. He said, if you don't watch film, I don't throw to you. Like, that's the thing. So, he made sure that every one of those receivers worked their ass off. And, I mean, he's a good dude, and he's going to be – I just think it was a poor decision.
Yeah. But
if his teammates were fine with it, then I guess we got to be fine with it. Ultimately, that's really all that
I
matters.
I was just about to say, we can sit here and pontificate about it. Whether we like it or not doesn't really matter. If his teammates were like, you know, we've won a hell of a lot of football games because of this guy, and we don't want to risk, you know, his future or whatever.
Even though he played two quarters.
I bet Texas would like to see their quarterback. I just don't understand
how you're like, well, we don't want him to get hurt, but you're going to play two quarters, but you're not going to play the other two. What happens if he
didn't get the touchdowns in the first half?
I don't know.
Does he come back out for a few more plays?
It seems to me like he was going to play till he broke the record, so maybe he broke
it
too early.
Damian Martinez or Arroyo were going to play, but both of them were out there. Martinez had a hell of a game. I don't know, man. It's if the teammates, I mean, I'm sure he addressed the team before. It's not like that decision was made.
They all had to know that was the – because you can't just spring that on the team at halftime and go, oh, by the way, Cam decided he's not playing the rest of the game.
Yeah, I think it was
then you would have a problem.
It was prime time. Everybody was watching that game. It was a great game. It was a close game. That added a lot to it, being the primetime game on bowl game on TV. I think that added to all the.
The reality is like the main drama. Thing in that game when you were watching it wasn't the players on the field, it was the Pop-Tarts dancing around on the sideline. Wildberry was getting after it.
He was
messing
with
the
official.
Well,
hell, one time he got I'm like, let the official make the call and get off of him with your creamy ass.
When they were out there peeling the wrappers off at the beginning,
yeah,
and he was kind of flashing his little undercarriage.
Yeah, he was messing with the wrap.
He was Wildberry was wild, man. Yeah.
And I also like the fact that that the NCAA allowed them to put the sprinkles on the sidelines, which added a lot to the Pop-Tarts Bowl.
Yep.
But that game continues to, A, live up to the pageantry that is the Pop-Tarts Bowl, and then it delivered as a ball game and gave us something to talk about besides the actual, we're talking about the game, but something in the game that we can talk about, which is a lot more than most other bowl games can.
I want to see the numbers on that game because other than CFP, it's got to be the highest watched, most watched game, bowl game this season.
For the entirety of it, so I bet.
Whoever does their marketing or whatever is so smart. Because it has become like a cultural thing. Like if you were on Twitter during the game, every single sports thing, every national media member, All they're doing is not just talking about the game, mm-hmm. but going, man, look at this Pop-Tart slapping the official's ass on the sidelines or whatever, you know? And they've just done a brilliant
and
job.
And I love that they had three choices of the Pop-Tarts to get cooked this year.
Yeah.
It's like the player of the game got to choose. I don't know. I know the Big Ten and the SEC have a lot of like big contracts, but they'll never win a Pop-Tart trophy, and I'm fine with that. No. That's something that belongs to the Big 12 and
ACC.
That's
true. That's true.
So, well, that may be something SIG needs to get involved with.
Has the ACC
just leave us alone. That's ours.
Next
wait
year
a minute. Wait a minute. Has the ACC won yet?
No. But the Big 12 has, and I'm just as happy with that.
Okay. Okay.
And the ACC was in the Pop-Tart Bowl, which might be better than winning a lot of other bowl games.
It was NC State and Kansas State last year, and that's when the world got introduced to our quarterback from Kansas State.
I must say the Big Ten's doing a pretty damn good job in bowl games. If that leans you towards any other bowl games as we're moving on. I think what the SEC's only won two. SEC's won three.
Arkansas, Vandy, and Missouri.
Yeah. And
a lot of the small conferences have done well, AAC and some of them.
Army and Navy both won, right?
Yeah, and Memphis. Some of those teams have really done well. But, like you said, I mean, you can't look at it that way, but I am looking at what Tuna and I have said, and even Jody and you, Travis, all have kind of said, is that the SEC seems, if you're watching these games, I don't care who's playing and who ain't, it doesn't matter. The SEC looks like they're definitely a little down, in my opinion, based on some of these
games. And I remember some years, though, where guys weren't opting out, and the SEC had some pretty bad bowl seasons, except for, like, the big names. But all in all, like, I don't know. It's hard to gauge a conference on these games.
Well, the SEC.
No, you're right. You're right.
The SEC, and let's not lose sight of what's really important here. The SEC is now officially a basketball conference.
It is.
It is.
There's no question.
What they thought they were in football, they've always been in baseball.
Right.
And now they are in basketball.
And now UConn is a football powerhouse. Correct.
Well, according to Jim Moore.
He
said every coach in America is after all his players.
He said they better watch their ass because he's coming after them.
I mean, I'm telling you right now.
He did.
If nobody put money on UConn, I told everybody to do it. Yep. That was a first game blowout of the bowl day. I loved it.
Yeah, Jim Moore has put, I don't know if you, did you hear that, Fred?
I did not hear that.
He came out and he was like, my players are getting tampered with, which every player in the nation's getting tampered with and every school tampers.
Yes.
But he said he's going to use every resource available to him. He knows who the coaches are that are contacting his players.
Okay.
And he's going to come after them.
I like it.
I think it's hilarious.
A California guy.
Yes.
Yeah, Mr. Laidback. Yeah.
Well, and I've always really liked him, and I thought it was kind of weird when he took that job. But I think it's super cool that he's gotten them now to at least a point of respectability, right? Like,
I mean, 9-4?
Yeah, I mean, well.
Shit, Randy Etzel had him in the Fiesta Bowl back in 2007, 2008.
Yeah.
I think he's in prison.
He may be. He disappeared.
I was about to say, don't bring his name up to UConn fans or Maryland fans, because there's two teams that think that he ruined their program. But he had some good years.
Yeah,
at UConn,
the year he had Donald Brown, they were they were probably the best they've ever been. And Dan Orlovsky.
Yeah, Donald.
Yes,
Donald Brown.
Dan. Mm-hmm.
Donald Brown.
Diamond Dan for
Colt.
Sure.
Yeah,
he was a Colt.
He averaged 8 yards a carry his senior year. So I know that's not much when you're talking about Ashton Jenkins.
Now, what about this Colorado game where, all right, so they all played and they all shit the bed. Like, what was your take on the Colorado game? Because I don't think I was really expecting that. Were you all? expecting them to come out so flat.
Well, I was not because...
And they played the whole game.
I unfortunately bet the wrong side of that game.
I think
game.
We all did, and then we all...
Me too.
I hope you all live bet it quickly, because I did.
Something about Mormons at the first of the year, like the so Christmas time.
I listened to a guy in Vegas that said, look, if you don't think that BYU's going to come out here with a chip on their shoulder, you're crazy.
Well,
da-da-da.
They certainly did. And even in the broadcast of the game itself, like you would have thought that Colorado was winning that game by three or four touchdowns the way that that the announcers were talking. And I just kept going, am I reading the score wrong? Like they're getting their ass beat.
I'm going to tell you the main reason I loaded up on Colorado for that one is because the night before there was a lot of videos getting leaked out of BYU players doing these choreographed dances the night before. And they all look like kids that went to like KCD and stuff, you know, weird haircuts and, you know, whatever. So I was like, there's no way that Colorado is not going to hammer down on these kids.
How about KCD catching some strays there, Mr. Electricity? I love it.
I couldn't say collegiate.
Yeah, I was wondering about that.
No,
one.
You cannot say collegiate. Not on this podcast, you can't. Unless you're talking about our fine tradition of academic and athletic excellence.
Yeah, I wasn't, so I didn't mention them that time.
But no, I mean, I think the general consensus was, and for whatever reason, I know BYU had struggled maybe coming down the stretch, but everybody was talking about how Colorado has better athletes. And Colorado has had the two best NFL prospects, clearly. But that doesn't necessarily mean that...
Say five or six.
Yeah, I mean... Maybe.
Yeah.
But that doesn't,
wide receivers
but that doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to win a one-off bowl game against a team that's together, connected, and coming in with a chip on their shoulder.
Yeah, I don't know where the better athletes came from. I'm with you. Colorado has like a few pro prospects, but BYU always has good athletes on that
sure.
field.
Sure they
I mean,
do.
Year in and year out, I don't know how they keep doing it. I don't know how kids go out there and play and how they get them to commit to that. But they do, and it continues to happen. And it was with BYU, for me, it was the way they've played the last seven games of their season. They were hanging on for dear life and could barely get through those games. I don't understand how it looked like Colorado was trending up and BYU was trending down, and I'm not really sure how this happened so badly. Like, where was this game? What was it? In Tempe, Arizona? Is that where it was?
I believe that is correct.
The Alamo Bowl?
Or no, that was in... It was
San Antonio.
San Antonio, yeah. Okay. It was the Alamo Bowl.
Yeah, it was the Alamo Bowl.
That's Purdue.
God, that's how stupid I am. I'm like, the Alamo Bowl in Tempe, Arizona.
That's the...
that's where Pee Wee Herman found his bike.
Yeah, Pee Wee, not Davy Crockett,
Yeah, I understand they had their little
tell them Large Marge sent you
pep rally in the basement of the Alamo, from what I understand.
Yeah, it's the basement. It's where Colorado was, in the basement of the Alamo all night.
Well, and you're right that, like, I mean, there is an easy answer as to why we think that Colorado probably has better athletes than BYU.
I ain't saying it, but
we're going to leave that alone.
No.
but there is a general consensus there that's probably the case.
Before we got off here last week, we gave everyone our locks, and they should have, before we get into these playoff games, Syracuse and TCU was my two locks. I said, put the house on them, and I hope you did, because they were blowouts. And Tuna, you had one.
Didn't TCU get beat?
No, they dominated.
Dominated Louisiana.
Yeah.
Oh,
which was a weird matchup.
No, I'm sorry.
You all both had a blowout.
I was thinking of Texas A&M.
Right.
I'm sorry.
No, but you all had. I thought you all both had a pick too that you all were so hardcore.
I was big
on
Arkansas. I think.
Yeah.
And
I think all four of them came through for us. Like we just we all mentioned a lock that we all liked, and I noticed that we had all had won big on those.
I don't really
I mean,
remember.
Hell, I bet Syracuse 2 weeks ago.
I'll be honest with you guys. I've been in a bowl game haze. Like, I can't even tell you what game was what and who was who and what was what.
Well,
like, they just keep coming at you.
I and we talked about it a little bit before we came down to record. I think the Army game.
That was the Army.
To me, this team didn't even know they were going to be playing in a bowl game a week ago, and then Marshall opts out of the bowl game. This other team is told, okay, come out here and show up. And by the way,
5-7,
you're
going to
play
Tech.
Army, who runs an offense that you never see.
No.
Who is one of the best coach teams in America. And
who just lost to Navy.
Yeah, yeah.
So did they go, is their record 14-1?
They're.
Or 14-2. 13-2.
Yeah, they lost to Notre Dame and Miami.
They're,
yeah. Or no, they're not Notre
they're
Dame.
Navy. They're 12-2.
How do you get Miami and Navy mixed up?
Okay. Yeah. Yep. They were 12-2.
Right.
And I mean, as you said, Freddie, I mean, it was like every time they decided they wanted to run, it was 10, 11, 10
yards.
12 yards.
Oh, God. And I had that on my parlays my last game, and I'm just to be able to watch the beauty of it. Where it was like, there's no way that Louisiana Tech is going to score or even get in the other area of their field of possession.
That was an easy money. That was easy money. That doesn't happen very often, but that was easy money.
Yeah.
Any other games from the previous week that stuck out to you guys that you wanted to talk about before we move on?
Freddie, you want to give a big breakdown of the 68 Ventures Bowl?
No.
Okay. just checking.
No, which, I looked at...
Which game was that, Tuna?
Arkansas State and Bowling Green.
Who won that game?
Arkansas State. Yeah. I was on Bowling Green on that one.
Yeah, actually, that was the game that had the crazy fake punt.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. So, I mean... That was cool. Like, Bowling Green's coach pulled some stuff out of the hat. Like, and we've seen some cool, like, fake punts and different things like that from some of these games. So
I thought the Iowa State game was one of the more fun games that I've watched all throughout all this. I thought it was a great game. Anyways, I think we've kind of hit on everything. And I'm looking back on the Tuesday bowl games and things like that, and we kind of wavered back and forth on certain things.
I don't think anybody needs to hear too much of a breakdown of the...
No, I think we need to get into the nuts and bolts of what's getting ready to happen, baby.
Yeah, so today as we record this is Monday night, so tomorrow, Tuesday, and I'll have this episode... Well, if you're listening to it, you'll know by now. But it should post around noon,
whether or not
which does
our host
you
and moderator's line or not,
which does you no good to know that tomorrow it'll be out at noon. You'll just find out. But I'm going to try to have it out before the first game tomorrow, which will be of particular interest to one fabulous Freddie Benders. The slate opens up tomorrow with SEC Big Ten matchup in the ReliaQuest Bowl, which is where? Where's the ReliaQuest
Tampa,
Bowl?
Florida.
Tampa.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Raymond James Stadium.
That's basically the...
This is the old
Outback Bowl.
Yes. Okay, okay. Yeah. This is the old Outback Bowl. Alabama and Michigan. I know they've played each other in at least one bowl game that I can remember in the relatively, like... I don't know, in the past 15, 20 years.
They've played in the Outback Bowl before.
Have they?
Yeah.
Was the
old Capital One Bowl? Remember that one? There was a Capital One Bowl, wasn't there?
The Capital One Orange Bowl.
Well, no. Wasn't that. Anyway.
So that game kicks off tomorrow at noon. Bama as a 14-point favorite, the over-under sitting at 44.5, and Freddie, I know you'll have thoughts on this game, so I'm just going to open it up to you right off the get-go. let me know what you're thinking and how you're feeling about the Tide rolling into the ReliaQuest Bowl.
Give a piss about nothing but the Tide.
Ain't nothing but the Tide. Well, I know Bama Willie's ready and ready to suit up right now. But I think it
he won an award yesterday.
I think there's three questions that Bama Nation all knows what I'm going to mention, and that is the wide receiver core, how are we going to play with a depleted wide receiver core of some players that have left? How is our motivation level, and who's all leaving for the NFL draft? And I do think that all of our players are playing. And find out Kalen Proctor, our offensive lineman, who's been kind of banged up, the one that went to Iowa and came back to us, the All-American, and he's playing in this game, which really surprised me. Once I saw that, that tells me that there might be a little motivation in here to win. I know that Nick Saban, when we played a team that is a blue blood like Michigan or somebody like that, it was a staple that he entailed in all of the players to stay and play. And I'm talking about Ruggs, Judy, all those guys did not have to play in that bowl game last time we played Michigan and we drummed them 38-7. They beat us in the national championship game. Yes. So I do feel like we kind of have a little motivation to try to get
championship semifinal.
Semifinal to try to get back. It is two blue bloods playing. I know Michigan has some opt outs. I don't think Bama has that many. We have wide receiver opt outs that are not playing and are gone. But we've got the 18-year-old playing as everyone gets tired of hearing. But Jam Miller, our running backs that haven't left are playing. We do have, you know, a decent amount of talent still on the bench. And I do feel like that we are motivated for this game. I wouldn't take the spread if my life depended on it. But a money line type thing. I think that Jalen Milroe is going to play in this game. Happy trails to him after it's over.
I'd probably alternate spread this one below 10, 9.5. The money lines wouldn't be worth it. You're probably looking at minus 2,000.
I get it. Or just live bet it down when we're down 7.
Depends on what your site says. Yeah.
But I'm just saying that you'll know how Bama's coming to play in the first 5 minutes of this game. But I do feel like it is in Tampa. It is a good bowl. We're going to have a lot of fans there, I think, even though, I mean, you can say what you want about Bama fans, but they're going to support the team no matter what if we're in a bowl game. And the cliche of Bama is, well, you didn't make the playoffs, so you're going to suck. And I get it. It's happened many times.
I don't know where that comes from, because
that is the mindset.
When you guys had Shula, you were selling out bowl games.
Yeah, I
know. I don't get it. I don't know where that came from.
Well, Saban instilled a lot of bowl game
superiority,
savvy, if you will. Yes, to where a lot of these players played and always have, and I don't know. I feel like some of the past players are probably on them a little bit to play in this game. It is Michigan. It means something to them and the players that they're with on their NFL teams. And I think I think it's going to be a pretty damn good game. Really.
I think my biggest concern
for
with
a 12 o'clock bowl game on that isn't in the playoff, I think it'll be a pretty good game.
I'm concerned about Michigan's players still having pepper spray in their eyes. How many of them got, you know, burnt out too bad to where their vision's permanently impaired by those Ohio police officers? I don't know how they're going to be, if they're going to have any kind of PTSD from showing up on there like that.
Did any of their players tear their rotator cuff by stabbing that flag into the...
Yeah.
Like that was a funny thing when they were talking about the planting of the flag. And I never heard anybody say this, but when I was really thinking about it, I said, how can you really plant a flag on AstroTurf?
It's not AstroTurf, it's field turf.
Well, but
yeah,
whatever.
No, you can plant it in there. That's like got a thick cushioning, and you can jam it.
Can you do that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you ever walked on that field turf stuff?
I have, but I've never tried to plant a flag on it.
Well, yeah.
But
walking on it, you can tell it's got a lot of give to
but,
it.
But let's be real. Everyone's been talking about how we got screwed, blah, blah, blah. And we all know, most of the nation knows we weren't screwed. But if you want to shut everybody up and show them that you can play, I mean, then all you got to do is show up and win. I mean, so I do think that aspect is there too. And, but I can assure you, if Jalen Miller, you want to do a heads, tails, if Jalen Miller runs the ball the first play of the game, we're going to lose. If he doesn't, we're going to win. How's that sound?
I can't imagine Michigan being able to score enough points to keep this game close. That's my personal thoughts on it. That's as basic as I can make it.
Yeah, I don't even – well, look at this game. This game is it's something that people are putting on their TV while they're kind of getting everything put together for the big 2 o'clock game so they can switch the channel to the nationally televised bowl game.
And
you talking about El Paso?
Yes.
And
What's the time change? The Tony the Tiger
Sun Bowl.
Is it like – are they on a five-hour delay?
I believe they're on Mountain Time, which is 2 hours. So, yeah.
So it starts at noon also. There.
I thought El Segundo was like, how far away is do you got to get on horseback to get to that stadium? Yes.
The entire team got on horseback. And they're going. They've started the trek yesterday morning, and they should be there by 2 p.m.
I do. You know, I remember when I was a kid watching the Sun Bowl.
They had the best mascot in the world.
All I remember is they were talking about, like, sometime way back in the old days when the stadium was oriented a particular way, they played in a different stadium or whatever, and they were saying that if you kicked a field goal far enough, it would leave the stadium and land in Mexico.
Yeah.
I always remember that when I was a little kid. I don't think that is a possibility.
It might hit the wall now. I don't
anymore.
Know.
Oh, God.
It's a doinked it off the wall.
That piece of shit would fall down if a football hit it.
Somebody said there's a currency change. Don't you have to have pesos out there to get something at the snack bar?
They take both.
But that leads us right into what I was going to say. UofL plays Washington in the Sun Bowl. And Tuna, I know you're all kinds of fired
on
up
CBS.
For this. Yeah.
CBS, nationally television.
National.
Yeah. Is that going to be Gary
TV?
And Dan? Gary and Brad?
Jim Nance may come out of retirement.
Dude, if
for
that's
this one.
Gary and Brad, now that's up and that's going to be on one of my TVs out loud.
Yeah, if it's all Gary right. and Brad, they're probably at home calling it from their couches. Like everybody did during COVID
They're
times.
Calling it on horseback.
Tuna, how do you feel going into this big-time matchup against the Washington Huskies? Last year's,
6-6.
Last year's national runner-ups, a marquee game, as you said, on national television.
New coach.
How do you feel about Louisville coming into this ball game?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we've got... I mean, I think Washington doesn't have very many players opting out. Now, why did this freshman take over for Will Rogers? Is it because Will Rogers wasn't very good? Or
he holds a lot of records
I know,
to not be good.
He did, but was it just not a good match at Washington this year? Because he was really good down at Mississippi State.
I figured you had done that research.
Yeah, but anyway, they got this freshman that took over for him, and I guess he's played pretty well. He's playing. Louisville's obviously going to be without Tyler Shuck because he's 46 years old. And, you know, Ashton Gelati and Quincy Riley are opted out, which who can blame them? Renee Conga's playing. We've got a lot of good defense playing. This isn't really going to be about quarterback play for Louisville, even though we're going to get to see Harrison Bailey. But the two freshman running backs, this is obviously going to be their kind of game. It's just going to feed those guys. Let them eat. And my big thing that I'm wanting to see is not Harrison Bailey – quarterback, but the freshman Deuce Adams. Mm-hmm. 6'4", 6'5", dual threat guy. Coaching staff is big on him. They think he could be the quarterback of the future. He's just very raw right now. I really want to see him get some run tomorrow. I'd like for him to get on the field as much as possible. So,
right, and you have your wide receiver that has decided to play.
Yeah, Colin Lacey, which is a little weird. A guy that quit on the team earlier in the year. He decided this. I don't think this is anything like I've ever heard before. Where most guys opt out of the bowl game, he's opting into the bowl game.
He's like, "Where's the bowl game, El Paso? I'm in."
Yeah,
I mean,
who doesn't want west?
It's the Tony the Tiger Bowl. I mean, who doesn't want a piece of that?
He likes cornflakes.
Yeah. He probably heard about the swag bag they're going to get when they show up, and he was all in for that.
I think he might think swag is something else. But I don't know, man. I guess he gets to play because it doesn't hurt his red shirt for this past year because of the amount of games. Again, if his teammates are good with it, I'm good with it.
Is
Me
Brooksy
personally,
playing?
I'd tell him to take a hike.
Is Brooksy playing?
No, Lord, no.
He's gone.
Not. Yeah,
he's
no.
gone.
No, we got some young receivers we're going to get to see go. Some tight ends that are going to be out there. Nate Koretsky's back. He's going to be playing. Jahlil Skinner, actually, who entered the transfer portal, decided to take his name out of the transfer portal. So that's big. He was a big transfer from down in Miami. But I don't know. I don't really know who's going to win, who's going to lose on this. It's
basically a pick 'em, right?
It opened up with Louisville being a 5.5-point favorite, and then it's dropped down to about a 1. So the money's going on Washington. I think people are just kind of seeing that our star defensive lineman and star corner and quarterback are not playing, and they go straight to betting on Washington.
Right, right.
How many people from Louisville is going to be there?
14, maybe 15. Not part of the team.
How many people are going to be there from Washington?
17, 18.
I would think that there's
not part of the team.
I would think that there might be like maybe around 9,000 from Washington.
I think this is the type of game that the locals have more tickets to.
Yeah.
Than anything.
I can't imagine that.
Yeah.
People would be leaving Washington or Louisville for that matter. And go, you know where I want to spend New Year's?
Yeah.
El Paso.
Yeah. They got great tequila.
I don't know, man. Maybe some of them will go down there across the border. I bet it gets pretty. There's a, what's that song? New Year's Eve on the Border?
Yeah.
Who sings that song?
On the Borders, the Eagles. No. What about, I'm talking about they're going to get that
worm. No, I mean,
worm.
I don't mean to disparage El Paso. I have never been.
I've never been.
It very well might be.
I will say it's picturesque.
Yes.
When you see it on TV, it is very sun's like setting or rising or whatever it does down there, it's
is El Dorado.
It probably does both.
I don't know if
it does, probably
man.
Rises and sets.
It's on the equator, so it just stays there.
Is El Dorado in El Paso?
Yes, it's right next
Dorado.
to El Durango.
So they've done a lot of movies, westerns out there.
Yeah, I think so. I don't know. My El Paso history is not all there. Jody?
I think we need to be careful. The fans are going to call in and vote or email us to be like, your road trip this year instead of Vegas is El Paso.
Yeah.
I'm not above it, dude. I bet there's some good-ass food there.
Yeah.
I mean, if they can legalize sports gambling down there, I'll visit. But that's one thing that will not get me to your town.
So that game, as you said, opened at like 4.5, five points.
Five and a half.
Now it's down to 1. Mm-hmm. I have it as Louisville as a 1-point favorite.
Oh, yeah.
Something's up.
That leads us right into the 3:00 game, which is another Big Ten SEC matchup. Yeah.
Camping World Stadium.
I had to look at the, I was trying to figure out where the game was. Okay, this is at Camping World.
Citrus Bowl. It's a good, yeah.
And this
horrible
is,
venue.
This is Illinois and South Carolina. Illinois, a sneaky under the radar 20th ranked in the country. And South Carolina, a lot of people think, was the hottest team coming down the stretch that didn't make the playoff.
Does Tuna, have you researched this at all? Do you know if there's any opt-outs?
I think we talked about this before we turned it on. I said I don't understand why the spread is at 10 points. I would think it's much closer than that. And I said I haven't handicapped this game yet. So I don't really know.
We have Illinois is a 9-point underdog right now.
It's 10.
Actually, it's 8 now.
Oh, shit. It was 10 o'clock when we started.
It's 8:30.
Hold on. What? Well, I don't trust your site.
Well, it is. It really. I'm looking on a different site. It's. I got 8:30.
I have it at 9. It's 10. Let me look here. I have it at FanDuel right now. Officially, is 9.5.
I was Vegas
insider. The best odds you can get right now is what I'm looking at is -10 South Carolina on Caesars Sportsbook and BetMGM +10 for Illinois. So those are.
That seems like a lot of points.
I have -9.
Seems crazy to me.
That's what I'm saying. There has to be something there.
I got Louisville Vegas insider at 5. On Vegas Insider, I got Louisville -5.
The best odds you can get Louisville right now is -1 on Caesars Sportsbook.
That's what I got.
On Vegas Insider, I got Illinois +11.5.
Well, I think
I've got a list of every sports book that shows the best that you can get.
I think what you're looking at on the Vegas Insider is probably where those games opened. Because that's
Well, the South Carolina Illinois opened at 10.5. So, I don't know what. I don't trust anything on Freddie's phone.
No. And we're going to.
Last night.
We're going to get to that at the end of the program tonight.
+1. Okay.
I have a couple thoughts about that.
Yeah, you're right. I got it at 1.
But.
I got it at 9.5.
So, that game, and then right about that same time, we have the Johnny Fever Bowl.
Yeah, buddy.
The LSU Tigers taking on Baylor. And appropriately enough, the Texas Bowl. LSU is a 3.5-point underdog in that game.
And that spread has moved. They were favored by 1.
It opened at 2.5.
I can tell you right now, Baylor's won 5 in a row, and I think they're going to dominate this game. I'm sorry, Josh. I hope you win. Johnny. I hope you win.
Do they try to steal Johnny back?
But this is
is he the trophy?
Dude, this is a crazy game for our buddy Johnny, who is the head videographer for the LSU Tigers, who left after a championship and went to he was asked to go to Baylor. And
Dave Aranda went there.
Aranda went there and he took the job as he should have. And then took some time off, and now he is back at LSU. And now they are playing Baylor. Unbelievable. And I've been waiting. I've been texting him, but I've been waiting to talk about this game on air.
Pop-Tart shoot out of him if they hold him up?
And I'm really curious about this game because
they put him in a toaster.
I know that
a
lot of LSU fans are frustrated with Brian Kelly. And I don't think they finished the season like they should have. And I can tell you right now, I've won quite a bit on Baylor lately, and they are hot right now. And if all their players are playing, I don't see how LSU has a chance to win this game. Do you all have anything to say? Nussmeier's coming back for another year? What? Who?
Nussmeier's coming back next year?
I mean, I assume that he is.
Well, no, I think he made the announcement that he's coming back for another year.
And he's playing in the game as far as I know.
So, good for him. It's different than like when DJ Uiagalelei and Carson Beck both announced that they were going pro. So,
yeah, right.
I'd like to take the time tonight to announce that I'm going to go pro.
Right. Right.
I mean, a lot of them have injuries.
Maybe it's like the Enterprise commercial.
Hell, Garrett Nussmeier. Hey,
pro in something besides sports.
Nussmeier's expected to play, but he is injured. Okay. Parker's out. Harold Perkins is out for the season. Watkins is out indefinitely. C.J. Daniels entered the transfer portal. Committed to Miami. Mm-hmm. I don't know. The way I see it is that LSU has a lot of people out. I don't know. I hate to say this, but I'm leaning towards Baylor. Now, I don't like that they're giving points, but...
That's a money line bet.
Baylor ended the season like TCU did, if that tells you anything. In the same conference. And I like to go with who's hot.
And I, out of deference to Johnny, will not make a pick on that. I know where my heart is. I mean, it's hard for me to say because I've never really rooted for LSU in anything in my life until Johnny was there, and we have several friends that are big LSU fans. So, and I don't really have any sort of particular allegiance to Baylor. So, actually, I'm just going to go out. I'm going to say I'm rooting like hell for LSU, but
yeah.
But I'm not betting that game.
Well, because I'm going to be spending time with all of them.
Well, yeah,
and watching the game. Yeah.
You don't really want to be the only asshole that's rooting against
I've already
them.
Won enough on Baylor. I'm good.
And then that'll lead us right into our first second round matchup in the college football playoff in the Fiesta Bowl, Penn State against Boise. And I am really looking forward to this particular ball game just because I'm fascinated to see what defensively Penn State is going to try to do to slow Ashton Jeanty down. And I'm fascinated to see if Boise State just goes, we think offensively we can run it right down your throats because that's what we do. And I think it's going to be a very good game. The line at this point is Boise State plus 11, which seems like a lot of points to me, but I'm not sure about that. What say you about this, Tuna?
Yeah, I think this is going to be a game. Ashton Jeanty's going to get his, but he's not going to have one of those 200-yard dominant games in this one. This one's going to be put on Ellen DeGeneres. He's going to have to throw the ball a lot. Really...
Did you say Ellen DeGeneres?
Yes, their quarterback.
Is that her name or his name?
It's his name. It's, yes.
Oh. Is that really his name? No. Are you calling him Ellen DeGeneres?
No, he looks like Ellen DeGeneres.
Oh, okay. I didn't catch that. Does he have a bowl cut?
Yes, he does.
Okay.
When he was named the starter this year, if you remember, I was laughing down here.
I do.
He got the starting job over the five-star transfer from USC.
Yeah.
And I said, if this kid is going to be the starting quarterback for Boise State, then there's no way I'm putting them in the playoffs.
Right.
Well,
here they are.
Yeah, here they are.
Round two.
But no, I think he's going to be asked to throw the ball a lot in this game, and it's whether or not he can make the throws. And really, he has made every throw this year that he's had to make. Like, he has played really well. And it's almost like because I made fun of him for his appearance.
Where's this game being played, Tuna?
At the Fiesta Bowl.
Yes. So there ain't no blue field there.
No. They have one on green turf this year as well. It's not just all home wins.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know what to make of Penn State. I don't know what to make of anything. When it comes to these like playoff bowl games, everything that I know about college football, everything that I thought I knew about college football, I don't know shit.
Yeah.
Because that first round blew my brain apart.
Well, it didn't mind. I went with the chalk, and the chalk won.
Did you expect the chalk to be as dominant as they were?
Just because of the home venues, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Only because of the home venues. Now there is no home venue. So now I feel like mush like you do.
Yeah. I just can't see where a home game played that big of a difference to be as bad as it was. I don't know.
I mean, they're all playing.
I'd love to see Boise State get this win. I like them to cover the 10. I really do. I'm not going to hammer that. I'm probably even going to buy it up a few points.
Right.
I think that's the best way to play these games this weekend is alternate spreads.
I'm with you.
I don't know how to bet them. I don't know how to pick them. It's like I said, for Boise State to win this game, they're going to throw the ball. I think their defense,
right, and I personally
can get on Ayler a little bit.
I don't think they can throw the ball against Penn State. That's my thing.
So you think they're just going to be able to run?
I'm taking Penn State in this game.
Yeah.
I know it doesn't sound cool, but
no, it's
I think Penn State's playing good right now, man. They got a lot of cylinders going, They've gotten kind of a lucky draw here. I don't know. I mean, hey, this is a game I may not bet on at all and just watch it and have fun watching it and see what happens.
I think where my head's at, it's got it so screwed up, is that a lot of these teams, these top seeds that were considered elite, I've watched them look very pedestrian multiple times throughout the season. And all the good that I see them do is always outweighed by the bad that I've seen.
Yeah.
And that's with a lot of these teams.
Well, and don't forget, a lot of these teams play teams that are already familiar with them.
Yeah.
And that works, you know, no, in any conference. And then you get out and you play someone that isn't familiar with them, and they look better.
I'm with you.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see if Boise State can get up for this game or not. So
I mean, they got to have a little bit of a chip on their shoulder. Like, we need to prove. Maybe they have a lot of pressure.
There's nothing in this game that I love.
No, there's not. And that, this is the first game, right?
Like, I try to look for an edge, and I just don't see one. I don't know what to do here. Like I said, I think they are going to have to be able to throw the ball if they plan on winning. And you said you don't think that they'll be able to, and they may not be able to. And that's probably going to be the difference right there.
Yeah.
Well, I would assume that Tom Allen's defensive philosophy is there's one guy on the other team we're not going to let beat us.
Right. I mean, look.
And if you're going to beat us throwing it over our heads, then so be it.
Yeah.
You're going to have to prove that you can throw it over our heads. And that's going to be probably what it's going to come down to.
I mean, and I don't know if it's even going to be deep shots that he's going to have to throw the ball. I'm talking like a lot of 6-7 yard hits, just going downfield like that, quick, yeah, getting it out, because Penn State's going to be applying pressure for sure.
I've been impressed with Penn State's corners and DBs.
Linebacker play, that number 11. I know you could say that every year for Penn State, whoever wears 11, but like that's
so they're top 10 in rush and stopping rushing yards per game. They're top 7 actually, and rushing TDs, they've only let 7 all year happen.
That's where the rubber meets the road.
Yep, you're right. And that is the Fiesta Bowl.
Yep, and that is at 7:30 tomorrow night. And then that rolls us right into a classic January 1st New Year's Day slate of ball games with the Peach Bowl, the Rose Bowl, and the Sugar Bowl going back to back to back, 1:05 and 8:45. Starting out with the Texas-Arizona State game, with Arizona State a 12-point underdog from what I'm looking at right now. And that's another game that I find extremely interesting for a couple of different reasons.
I think we all do.
Fred, I'll start with you on this one. How are you feeling about the Peach Bowl?
Man, you all know that I really feel that this is where I'm feeling the upset right here. And you know, everyone loves Scatabo, but dude, it's one of them feel things with me, but the way Arizona State's been playing, it don't matter who, like we even said, man, they're going against Iowa State now, good defensive team. They've played them a lot, played them before. They know them, da-da-da, and they come in and just rock their world. And I just feel like, now, I hope they're not coming in too confident, but I don't think they are. But, man, their defense has impressed me all year long. They kind of, in the middle of the season, had a lull where teams started scoring on them again. They lost a game. But at the beginning of the year, I remember looking at them going, man, this ASU, y'all need to look at the defense is really holding people back. And I feel like those guys maybe got healthy, and now their defense is playing so much better. On offense, the quarterback is a game manager. He plays great. Scatabo's there. He's amped up. They have some receivers that can catch the ball. Scatabo, 1,500 rushing yards, 500 receiving yards. He can also catch the ball. Texas has been flat except for the last game. And I don't know, man. If I'm going to take a stab at something, it's going to be this game. And it's partly because I've liked Arizona State all year. So have you all. We've all loved this team. But I do think that this team, if they were playing Penn State, I would be saying something different. And they're not. So I think they can catch Texas in a tight game here. What do y'all think?
Yeah, I think Kenny Dillingham is probably the ballsiest coach on the sidelines this year, and he's probably been one of my favorite to watch. Sam Levitt, their quarterback, you mentioned him earlier, tough as nails.
Yeah.
That kid, I mean, he falls in those lines of Pavia and
Pavia King and King
and all those and Horvath, and his guys that can get out and scramble, they can make the throws, they throw on the run. They're just, you know, they're gamers. They may not look the part, but they, damn it, they play up to it. Their stud wide receiver that was out in the Big 12 championship game.
Yeah,
is he
playing
in this?
I've been looking. He's 50-50.
Okay,
they
that's something to keep
said.
An eye on.
Yeah, for sure. But the other one did, they did just fine without him.
Yeah, that was, Iowa State's a little
now
different
that's
than
not
Texas.
Texas, is, yeah. Texas yeah. has some good corners,
yeah.
believe me.
If Texas's athleticism shows up, like they did last week,
yeah.
Which was that I was know. The first time that I had said when like I'm like okay, that's
you said
the Texas
that on the program yeah. last right. week. That was when they're the first yeah. time they really played
they,
together.
They
came
looked
together.
Like what everybody told yes. me they were.
Yes,
and if that same team shows up, they win this game,
don't
and they
think
probably
it, don't
cover.
Don't you think
that.
If Arizona State can stop the run, that run that was that really
that's
got
the
them
first
going
time
last
they
week.
Ran the ball all damn year.
I know, and I feel like they're going to try to do it again. And if Arizona State can stop the run, I think they have a chance.
Yeah, it's depends on what Sark tries to do here. I don't know how crafty he's going to get if he does stick
but
to that
I
same
think,
game
this
plan.
This is one of them teams that's West Coast. Mm. I think he wants to throw the ball and shit
yeah, I do
against
too.
Them
that's where
because
I'm at
that's
with
what
it.
They do. But really, the funny thing is, this Arizona State team is more of a punch you in the mouth team, like an SEC school. Maybe not with all the five stars. You know what I mean? They four and five stars. They may not have that. But
I just feel like I'm a little. This is what I hope doesn't happen. Kenny Dillingham's obviously never been in a spot like this before. If his playbook gets limited because early on he finds it harder to do some of the things that he's been able to do, and then he gets a little gun-shy in the second half, this could get ugly real quick.
It could.
I was just
it
about
could.
To ask it you could. If you think, because you and I totally agree on him, but we also said the same thing about Sig, and in the two biggest games for Indiana this year, we said
yes.
that all of a sudden that – you got hit in the mouth. You weren't doing the things you thought you were going to early in these games, especially the Indiana Notre Dame game. I hope it doesn't happen to Arizona State.
When,
they get behind early.
I haven't seen Texas get hot on a team early in a long time.
No.
Maybe
no.
Georgia? Or not Georgia. No. Not Georgia. Georgia got
Georgia
high on
got
them.
Hot on them, yeah.
Yeah, but I've never seen them get hot on anybody to start the game off.
No, I don't know. I don't see it. But, I mean, it could happen. What I'm saying is they have the athletes
who
to do it.
Who beat Arizona State?
Was it
BY?
Hold on.
So they have two losses, right?
I'll tell you here in just a second.
Yeah, look that up. But I don't know, man. We'll see. I like Arizona State in this game, but I just feel like this is a scary one. I'm going to buy it up from the 12 points. I'm going to lay some money on Arizona State here. I'm probably going to put it at 14.5, just because I think Dillingham can keep it close.
You will never guess.
Yeah, they dropped an ugly one
you
early.
You will never guess one of the teams. They clearly – they've lost two games this year, right?
Was it UNLV?
No, but you should get this, Tuna.
You've mentioned the coach's name.
Yes.
From one of the teams that they lost, or one of the teams they lost to early in the season. You mentioned that coach's name earlier in this broadcast.
Yep.
Not Tulane.
No.
I wouldn't have. They lost to Satterfield.
Oh, Cincinnati.
Oh, my God.
That game was at Cincinnati. Yeah, I think I watched it. Did Scadabo play in that game?
Who knows? That I don't know, but they got whooped. They got beat 24-14.
Oh, my God.
You know what? I may have lost money on that game.
And the other one was
Texas Tech. Well, hell yeah, we did.
In Texas Tech. Yeah. That was when Texas Tech was going through.
Right, right.
Because Texas Tech had like a 6-week heater.
Wow. Yeah, they did. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah,
I would have never gotten either one of those.
No, Satterfield does that every year.
Yeah, he does that one
freaking game, and then you're like, all right, well, he saved his job. And
goddamn Satterfield.
Yeah, Satterfield got him.
Scatabo did play that game, but he only had 75 yards.
Well,
nice.
See,
nice.
So Scatabo said earlier this week that nobody can stop him. I guess he said that now. Like, obviously he didn't say it before Satterfield.
He didn't say it when it was Satterfield.
So he figured it out. Now he thinks that nobody can stop him. And I have no reason to believe that Scatabo's a liar. So I'm going to...
Well, he did have the only two touchdowns in the Cincinnati game.
Well, there you
go.
They
scored 14,
so
and he had two
touchdowns.
So they
did not stop him. 70 yards and two touchdowns is a pretty good day.
That is phenomenal. I can't wait to get the guys tonight on that trivia question.
Yeah, that is one that I don't think anybody, unless you're a big fan of Arizona State or UC, anybody would go, oh, yeah, I remember
and
when
that was
they
early
lost
on
UC.
In the year. And let's not forget, Arizona State was picked to finish last in the Big 12.
Yes.
So. Yeah, we went to Cincinnati for that game. That was a great time.
Yeah. Nobody goes to Nippert Stadium. I think
is crazy. Okay, all right. That is the Peach Bowl tuna.
Yes. Yep, and then that will cycle us.
What's the spread on that?
12.
12 and a half.
12 and a half. I'm looking at CBS, just the schedule that they have it at 12. So.
Actually, that was their seventh game of the season. It's right in the middle of the season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I believe the Texas Tech game was before that, right?
I think it was.
Yeah, the Texas Tech game was the
so they lost Texas Tech. Then a couple weeks later, they lose to UC, and then they just decided we're done fooling around.
Something happened.
They just started dropping the hammer on people.
It'd be interesting to find out what happened after that.
Yeah,
really
I'm going to have to go into those games to kind of see what happened.
Because, dude, we looked at that Iowa State, that championship game, and I'm like, man, Arizona's kind of falling off a little bit. Arizona State's falling off a little bit, da-da-da. Then, I mean, they just throttled
them. They didn't fall off. Hell, they smacked the hell out of Arizona the last game of the year.
Arizona's weak.
Don't tell Jody that. He picked them to win the Big 12 at the start of the season.
I could have sworn I said Arizona State.
Yeah, well, I could have sworn that I had Coach Sig winning Coach of the Year. And I was wrong about that, too, Sparky. Yeah. That leads us into what I think most people, and I think that we are all probably going to agree on this, is the marquee game of this round of the playoffs at 5 o'clock on New Year's Day, as it should be, at the Rose Bowl.
Yeah, these next two games
could
be the playoff for me.
Of Big Ten heavyweights. It's weird for me to say that, but it's a classic matchup from the old days of the Big Ten and the Pac-12. Ohio State and Oregon. We have Oregon getting 2.5 points. At least that's what I have on CBS right now. Two teams that
to beat the same team twice.
Well, and that's going to be one of the storylines. Ohio State clearly looked unbelievable last week, but they're not playing UT this week. They're playing Oregon, and I'm curious what you guys' gut instinct is right off the get-go in this matchup, because I look for this game to be one of those down-to-the-last-possession type of ball games. What do you think, Tuna?
Yeah, they say never bet with your heart. My heart would say I want Oregon to go and get this game for Will Stein. Would love to see him get a championship as an OC. But everything says Ohio State's winning this game, and they're easily – this is my pick of the weekend. Ohio State easily covers this 2.5-point spread. I might even do an alternate spread and boost it up to maybe 6.
Wow.
I really like Ohio State in this game. Like I said a while back, I think Ohio State's going to win a championship. I hate that those words come out of my mouth. Every time I say it, I have to reiterate how much I hate saying those words.
That's duly noted.
Not a Ryan Day fan, not Ohio State fan. Their fans do not deserve a national championship. I just think that this team can do it. And I think they are going to do it this year. And that loss to Michigan was the best thing that ever happened to them.
It probably was,
so,
really.
They've got the talent for this. It's the highest payroll in college football. And if they get playing like it, they should win it.
Can I go with my gut and then we'll break it down?
Yeah, please.
Okay, I'm on the whole other side of this. Mm-hmm. And my gut and my feel is that that quarterback for Ohio State will never have the game that he had last game. He there's no way that he can have that great of a game. Okay? And I think that it is hard to beat the same team twice. And that's the one thing that's got me on the fence. But I think that I love what Oregon's coach said when they got drawn and they saw that Ohio State was going to be playing them. And he goes, great, I love it. Bring it on. It's about competition. I want to play the best teams. He could have said, I'm not going to say he's ever going to turn away and go, no, we don't want to play them. But I'm telling you right now that I think that Oregon is going to come in here, and I think Oregon is going to win the national championship, and I think that this is the year that they are finally going to win. I think that they have been knocking on the door more than any other team in college football that hasn't won yet, besides Michigan, who finally won last year. And the way I see it is I think that Oregon's coach is going to out-coach Ryan Day, and I think they're going to beat him by at least 10 points in this game.
Okay.
Whoa.
Yeah, I kind of agree with the aspect where you say the winner of this game is going to win the title.
Yeah.
I think these are probably the two best teams that have showed they've looked less pedestrian than any other team so far this season, I think. So I'm with you. I'm going to go on the other side with it. And I could easily see it going your way on this one, too.
No, I can see it going your way.
So, well, now that you just want to get a room and dance together?
No.
Okay. I will not be surprised if either team wins. Mm. I will be surprised if either team wins by 10.
Yeah.
Like, that would surprise me. Not that it's not going to happen or couldn't happen, but that would surprise me.
I do want to say, Will Howard, I mean, he was the number one quarterback in the transfer portal for a reason.
Yeah.
You know, when he was at Kansas State last year, he was damn good. Now, this year, we talked about it last week a little bit. We don't know what got in his head, but he has not looked himself. Like, he's got a big enough body of work to say that he's a good quarterback. This year, he's been spotty. Last week, he kind of got it together. So I don't know if they worked it all out, if they had a come-to-Jesus meeting with everything. I'm with you. I don't think you can put it together a performance like they had last night. Was that Garendo touchdown?
No, he got stopped, but there's a fight behind the goalpost.
Damn it. But anyway.
Yeah, I just think that I think that Oregon's defense is highly, highly improved since they played Ohio State. I think they're one of the most underrated defenses in the country. And I think that their quarterback is one of the most underrated players in the country. They are undefeated for a reason. And I think if you get invited to the Heisman
ceremony, you're not underrated.
I know, but they sure don't talk about him very much.
Let me ask you this. Now, I'm a little, from a podcast standpoint, a little bit biased here because I picked Oregon to win the national championship when we did our breakdown. But do you think that this game is the matchup of the best overall athletes from both, like, because I don't think anybody else can match up.
I think Texas has the athletes,
but
they
some
just,
of them are hurt.
We just, I mean, they've been a shit show.
Okay.
But I think they actually have the best athletes. Now, I mean, Oregon, Ohio State, and Washington, or Oregon, Ohio State, and Texas are 1A, 1B, and 1C.
Okay.
When it comes to, well, I'm going to say Ohio State's 1, Oregon State, or Oregon and Texas are 2A
now
and 2B.
Now you sound like Freddie's.
Yeah, I'm all over the place.
You sound like Freddie's gambling site.
I'm all over the place. But I'm putting Ohio State up top.
Okay. And then, of course, that leads us into the primetime game, the Sugar Bowl that I wish I was going to. Unfortunately, it didn't work out that way. But Notre Dame and Georgia, basically a pick 'em. Looks like right now Georgia is a one-point favorite down in New Orleans. And, Fred, I'll start with you. You're the flag waving chairman of the SEC Social Club. How do you, has something happened in the NFL game as we're recording here?
Yeah, well, let's get through this. We're in the nuts and bolts of what we need to talk about. Let's get it done.
Yeah, if we didn't spend 4 hours breaking down a Reply Quest Bowl.
Here's the deal.
That's the best part of the show.
So, this is going to be, I think, also a great game. These two teams have played each other a few times in the past. Recently, Georgia's gotten the best of them every time. I don't think that happens this time. I picked Notre Dame to win it all. At the beginning of the year, I think Notre Dame is, sorry, Martin, but I think your quarterback is holding you. I think this is a tough place for a quarterback like that to come in to a game. And I think Notre Dame is on all cylinders. I will say that a stat that I thought was very impressive was that Georgia is 4-0 versus the field of the CFP. They beat Clemson, Tennessee, and Texas twice. That's pretty damn good season, okay? But I just feel that Notre Dame, they're 10-3 versus spread, covered the last 8 of 9. Not that it has to do with gambling, but that tells me that Notre Dame is consistently kicking ass. And I just think, I'm not even going to get into Notre Dame's quarterback or any of that. I just think overall, the body of work for Notre Dame, their defense, I feel like they are the second biggest team that is knocking on that door of a national championship. Michigan did it. I think Oregon's next, and I think Notre Dame's after that. Texas, you can wait in line. But I'm telling you, I just have a feeling that Notre Dame's going to win this game, and that's it. That's what I'm going with.
Tuna.
Yeah, I'm going to keep saying this every week that I have to look at their name on there. Georgia's a trash bag with a good coach. I don't get it. I think they're probably better off. I see I'm opposite of you. I think this Gunnar Stockton kid brings a different element to their offense that they didn't have with Beck.
Probably true.
And they're probably a better offensive team with that. I don't know how Georgia keeps winning. It's because Kirby has some magical shit. Like I said a while back, they're like the Chiefs. They keep winning. You don't know how they're winning because they don't look good doing it.
The thing that gets me is how they come back on these games like Bama and Georgia Tech and damn near win and score 30 out of the blue in the second half. I think that this game, this quarterback cannot do that.
Yeah, I'm on Notre Dame to win this one. And I'm probably going to regret that, but I'm picking Notre Dame to win this one.
All right. Well, that pretty much gets us through the college football playoffs. Now, before we go through last call, I do want to get on the record Freddie and Tuna's bowl pick'em picks.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, and we'll do bowl and playoffs.
Yes, for this week. I have all the games lined up here. And we'll just go ahead and start with the noon game tomorrow. Obviously, we've talked about all these games earlier in the show. We're going to start with Bama and Michigan. And for this one, of course, we'll start with the fabulous one. Who you got?
Bama.
Tuna.
High tide. Give me Alabama.
At 2 o'clock, we've got the Louisville Cardinals against Washington. Tuna.
We got to go with the Cards here.
I'm going with the Cards as well. I know I said the Big Ten. I do have a Big Ten parlay, but...
Well, then that leads us right into the next game. And these are winners only. I want to
So your Big Ten parlay.
Remind our listeners, these are not bets against the spread or anything. This is strictly who is going to win these games. Freddie, South Carolina, Illinois, who's going to win?
I mean, just logic as far as what was happening, I'm going South Carolina.
Yeah, nothing crazy here. I'm going South Carolina as well. I think this next one's going to be our first differential.
All right, the Johnny Fever Bowl, Baylor and LSU. Freddie.
Baylor.
All right, I've picked against LSU almost every week this year. This week, I am picking them to upset Baylor.
All right, and then in the first college football playoff game tomorrow night, Penn State, Boise State, Freddie.
Penn State.
Yeah, I got to take Penn State in this.
All right, now we move on to New Year's Day. The college football playoff second round continues. Tuna, Texas, Arizona State, who you got?
Screw it. Give me the Sun Devils.
Sun Devils for me.
Hell yeah. We wash each other out on that.
Unbelievable. Freddie, Ohio State, Oregon.
Oregon Ducks.
Well, I can't really pick Oregon after going and saying that I think to Ohio State. So I'm going to go with the Buckeyes here.
And then I think we know where both of you are at on the Notre Dame UGA game. Your last chance to change your mind. Are you both going with Notre Dame?
I'm going with Notre Dame.
Yes. Don't forget we have games after that.
Oh, I'm well aware.
Okay.
These are games that we did not talk about and we are not going to talk about, but these are games that will count towards the bowl pick'em. The first one, we have the Duke Blue Devils against Ole Miss in the Gator Bowl. Tuna, Duke or Ole Miss?
This is the easiest money of all bowl season. I think it's going to be the biggest blowout. Give me Ole Miss.
Is Jackson Dart playing?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll take Ole Miss.
All right. That leads us into the First Responder Bowl, a battle of Texas. We have the Mean Green of North Texas against whatever Texas State's mascot is. Oh. Freddie.
I'm first on this.
Freddie.
You know who I got a sweatshirt. Texas State, baby. Let's go.
I'm on the Bobcats on this one, too.
Well, this next one, I won't.
All right. Then we've got the Duke's Mayo Bowl. We've got the Row Your Boat Golden Gophers of Minnesota against Virginia Tech. Freddie, who you got?
I have a parlay that has been waiting, sitting there with cobwebs on it. I got five teams with winners dating back to Ohio, and I need one more win. And it's the Gophers. Row the boat, baby. Let's go, Big Ten.
Yeah, I'm going to go Hokey Pokies on this one.
All right.
All right.
Inner Sandman.
And then that brings us to Saturday's
Bahama Bowl.
Yes, the Bahamas Bowl with Buffalo and Liberty. Tuna?
Yeah, Buffalo. This is a Buffalo all
day. Oh, yeah. I mean, you got to.
Yeah.
I know these small schools very well.
Fred?
And I am going, give me liberty or give me death.
I'd rather have death than bet on liberty.
That might be the one that does it all, baby.
I can see you being a pool boy for them.
Well, we had to disagree on the last one.
No,
jeez.
We have one more.
That's all we got.
What?
That's it, isn't it?
Oh, no. That would be the must be the 1AA playoffs.
That's Monday night.
Well, I got North Dakota State.
No. Well, I was going to take North Dakota State. Well, screw it. Give me Montana State.
I'll take South Dakota State.
Well, no, it's Montana State.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they already beat South Dakota State.
Travis was thinking Lindenwood, but they didn't win their last game.
Lindenwood played, who'd they play yesterday? Somebody from the ACC.
All right, so we've got everybody's picks. It is last call. We're going to send it around the room quickly for last comments. Tuna?
Yeah, we've mentioned this guy several times on this podcast. He probably wins our award for fan of the year, fan of the lifetime, and that is Chiefsaholic. Chiefsaholic has a documentary on him now on Amazon Prime. I have already watched it 1.5 times, and it is maybe one of my favorite things that I've ever seen. This guy's an absolute lunatic.
Can't wait.
And I love it. So I know you guys don't watch anything that I suggest, but if you find time, do it.
You're saying you rank it ahead of Holiday Touchdown, yes. A Chiefs love story.
Yes, yes.
Okay, yeah. Freddie.
I was going through my 30 for 30s that automatically tape, and I was deleting some of them, and I went through and saw the best of 30 for 30. So I started watching. It was very cool. So they had a little show. They went through and picked their top 10 best 30 for 30s. What do you all think was number one?
The U
was number one. Mm-hmm. I want everyone to list their favorite one if they can real quick. Mine was about Marcus Dupree.
That wasn't a 30 for 30.
Yes, yeah, that one was.
That was an SEC the Fab story, Five, wasn't it?
No, the no. Fab Five was not one.
That's
an no.
SEC story.
The bet that yes, it definitely was because they talked about it. The best that never was. Mm. I highly recommend if you can ever find that one. And they went on into some of people whose lives have changed because of the 30 for 30, and it's very cool what has happened to Marcus Dupree. He is back into Oklahoma, him and Barry Switzer, and all the guys meet up and watch games every Saturday. It's pretty cool because he had nothing when they did that show.
Right.
And I just thought it was cool to go back if you have a chance to see that. What was your all's favorite? Do you have a...
Mine was the one they did about the North Carolina State surviving advance.
Yes, mm-hmm.
I love that one just because of the story and because... showed me how stupid I was that I didn't realize that Terry Gannon that was on.
Yeah.
You remember me saying that?
Golf. Yeah.
That was that was the same Terry Gannon
exactly
on NBC Sports. So yes. That I've always liked that one. And I love that story.
Mine was probably the U part two. The resurgence of the U.
Yeah. Yeah, that was good too.
I really like that one.
Jody, favorite 30 for 30.
I honestly don't have one.
He likes I hate Christian Leitner.
I was just about to say, it's got to be the Leitner one.
I actually have not watched that yet, but I am going to watch it here.
Boy, we
got
to get up
weeks.
To the pub by halftime to get these numbers. That's
$1,200. And Clayton Renders said that my son says, Dad, you all need, I want to hear a quick thing on who everyone thinks is going to win the NFL MVP. His pick is Lamar Jackson. My pick is Josh Allen.
I mean, it has to be Lamar Jackson. He's had the best year of statistically by a quarterback ever.
I think it should be.
There's a running back for Philadelphia that may break Eric Dickerson's record.
But in 17 games.
I think it should be Lamar. I think Josh Allen wins it.
I agree exactly with what Travis. Josh Allen's going to win it.
Okay, there you go.
Jody.
Sounds like a tie.
Jody.
I'm going to, real quick, if you want to win money, bet exactly opposite of this. I did a four-leg parlay for the CFP. Boise State plus 11, Oregon, Texas, Notre Dame money line plus 864.
Ah! I got that on tape.
Then quickly, congratulations to UofL legend Teddy Bridgewater for winning a state championship as a head coach and then getting a job as a backup quarterback in the NFL. He's on the sidelines tonight.
Right now.
With Detroit. That is so cool. One of the great dudes and one of the great players in UofL.
He's a Louisville legend.
RIP Greg Gumbel.
Yeah, I was going to mention, I hate to kind of gloss over this, but Greg Gumbel was, and we'll talk about him more maybe next week. I will give him a proper send-off that he deserves. Also, RIP to one of the most decent men to ever hold the office of President of the United States, and my dad's namesake, Jimmy Carter.
Jimmy Carter, yes, sir.
And also, right before we went on the air, great news, D'Angelo Pons, All-American, is coming back for another year to anchor Indiana's defense.
Nice.
And so is Mikhail Kamara, another All-American. So since we don't have basketball to look forward to as Hoosier fans, we can always look forward to spring practice. Cannot wait for the games this weekend. Sparky, it was great to have you back down in the downstairs pub. For Mr. Electricity, the Poet Laureate, Whiteboard Jody, the big fella, the Tuna Country, Matt Kemp, and the fabulous one, Freddie Benders, this is Travis Carter saying so long, everybody.